Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
All righty, how we doing? Hour number three of our radio program. It is Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio for the Zach Gelb Show. What a snooze fest so far between the New Orleans Saints and the Carolina Panthers. 3-3, exchanging field goals both team with 13:04 remaining here in the first half. I see Taysom Hill is in the game right now, and he is off and running, and he's just going to be about a yard short of a first down, so that's going to make it 2nd-and-1 here for the New Orleans Saints, as now Derek Carr goes back into the game. Last week, I gave you this. I did a same-game parlay on Monday Night Football with Stephon Diggs, and it was also Garrett Wilson at plus 400. That was a winner. My parlay, and it's not the same game because there's two games on tonight where you do have the Saints and the Panthers right now, and you have the Browns and the Steelers coming up later. Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. I'm actually betting a non-Cleveland Brown, though, here. I'm going anytime touchdown tonight for Chris Olave, and then anytime touchdown for George Pickens. Now, I'm not feeling great about the Saints game because there's been no offense so far. I think that's a tough game tonight. I'll lean Cleveland over Pittsburgh. But, Hickey, I think the Steelers are going to try to get the ball to George Pickens a lot. I don't believe Deontay Johnson is playing tonight.
IR announced today.
Oh,
next
it was.
Four games
okay.
out, which is good for Pickens.
Well, because I saw that on yesterday, that he was ruled day-to-day, and then I'm like, I thought this guy was supposed to miss multiple weeks, and then, boom, you get him put on IR. But with now Deontay Johnson out for the next 4 weeks, I'm going to assume that they're going to feed the ball to Pickens. I'm just wondering, though, if Olave is going to get in the end zone here. Because Olave, going into this year, everyone's talking about Garrett Wilson out of those second-year wide receivers as the best wide receiver, and he's tremendous. Once again, he doesn't have a quarterback, and you saw the great catch up against the Buffalo Bills last week and what he was able to do up against the Cowboys. But Chris Olave is someone that I don't know why. I don't want to say he was disrespected in the draft process because he was still a top 15 pick, but that dude I feel like does not get enough credit for what he displayed in college and then also being a 1,000-yard wide receiver a year ago with basically – just like Garrett Wilson, no quarterback from a season ago when he was thrown into the fire as a rookie in the NFL.
I think part of it is, not that the Jets were any good last year either, so it's not like,
National Olave, spotlight of the Jets.
Right, was like lost in the shuffle because the Saints are not very good, but I think that's also part of it. No quarterback, not a lot of real intrigue last year at the Saints, or at least the Jets were a scrappy young team.
And also, too, I don't think it hurts one Garrett Wilson when Aaron Rodgers gets there and he starts to compare him to 17 in Devontae Adams. Derek Carr, he doesn't have a lot of clout in this league. He's one of those guys where he's like, okay, he's a fine quarterback. He's a solid quarterback, but he's not great. He's not really good. If Derek Carr starts speaking out and pumping up Chris Olave, he may be right, but it doesn't have the same cachet as if an Aaron Rodgers was speaking up Garrett Wilson the way that he was.
No disrespect to Derek Carr, but yeah. Not even close.
Uh-oh, his brother's going to start blocking you on social media. So that's the bet that I have tonight. Plus 944 if Olave and Pickens both find a way into the end zone. Five questions, five answers. Let's get to it right now. We'll rock and roll with a little onsides, offside, hot take, Hickey, HTH. Hit it!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck at a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. How is that not? Is that not pass interference? Xavier Woods right there? All over Michael Thomas in the end zone? Man, I was surprised they didn't throw the flag there. We'll get to five questions, five answers, onside, offside in just a second, but it is 3rd and 9 here for the Saints, so let's just keep it here for a second, see what they do as they do have the ball down to the 22-23-yard line of the Carolina Panthers. And, oh, they did a fade to Thomas. He caught it, but he was out of bounds. They're really zeroing in on Michael Thomas early. I guess, Hickey, the approach is while he's healthy, you may as well go to him while you can.
Get your money's worth, right? Who knows? Could be one more game before he unfortunately does get hurt, but I like it. Get your money's worth now and make sure at least he is getting his targets while he can. All right. Let's go. First question here to the highest paid quarterbacks in the league.
He may have caught that, by the way.
You know what we're going to get?
Wait, hold on. Isn't one ass cheek inbounds the same as 2 feet?
Yes.
I think he got an ass cheek down there.
Now, his concern is he got, looks like both at the same time, one in, one out.
Oh, which cheek
is first?
This
is where you need the TV refs.
No,
who's the ESPN?
No.
John Parry? We need to zoom in right now on the left and right buttock of Michael Thomas' C and hear John Parry break it down, which is in first, which is in last.
Well, here's what you don't get. The TV ref does nothing more than the color analyst. The color analyst, most of the times, does a better job than the TV ref, just like as you had that jackass last night, Terry McCauley, do a horrible job. And I thought Chris Collinsworth was the most knowledgeable and informative person, just being an average Joe, an average consumer, an average viewer sitting on the couch. That's why I can't stand the TV ref, because yes, they have a background, they know the rules, but just to break down the obvious things, I don't need to hear from these dopey TV refs, and they overturned it.
Thank you, John Parry.
No. Thank me.
He probably explained to the entire audience what happened. I champion you, John Parry.
No, thank me. I just did John Parry's job, but I didn't confuse everybody. And I didn't put an asterisk on anything either. You're really trying to get under my skin with these TV refs because you know how much it annoys me.
Well, I was just going to say, I've never heard anyone be as upset at refs as you. And so I'm definitely going to play into it now.
They suck. They're horrible. They're worthless. They do nothing. And they're all pretentious.
Did you appreciate the fact that yesterday Gene Steratore admitted that in the Broncos-Commanders game there should have been pass interference on the two-point conversion? Did you appreciate that?
Thankfully, I was hosting Eye on Football, so I didn't have to listen to any of that commentary. But he actually had the cojones to go against the officials.
Said there should have been a flag.
You know what? Out of all the TV refs, if there is one that I somewhat like, it is Gene. Somewhat.
He's not just, Mr., let me stand behind the refs 24-7. He gives his honest opinion.
Out of all these TV refs, Gene is decent.
All right. That's...
You know what? How the Jets kind of talked about Zach Wilson yesterday, they called him decent. That's how I kind of will talk about these TV refs. And can Chris Olave catch that ball, please? Would have been an anytime touchdown right there. Drop the big third and goal upcoming. All right, let's go.
To the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL, not off to the best starts. Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, both lost on Sunday. Oof. Both teams now combined. Oh, and 4 to start the season. Things got worse for Burrow as after the loss to the Ravens yesterday, he admitted he re-aggravated his calf injury late in the fourth quarter. Now his status for Monday night, at least at the moment, right now still a week away, unknown. Since the playoffs expanded, since both teams are 0-2 to start the season, back in 2020, just one team, the 2022 Bengals, have made the playoffs after starting the year 0-2. So I ask you, Zach, with both teams right now winless, onsides or offsides, neither the Bengals nor the Chargers will make the playoffs this season.
Do you know who the Chargers play next week?
I do not.
You want to talk about a must-win Week 3 game for both teams? The Chargers up against the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota. 1 p.m. Eastern time kick. Think about that one.
Wow. That's an elimination game right there.
You will have the Skull fans freaking out. I won't say there'll be any Charger fans in the building because they don't even have any Charger fans when it's at SoFi Stadium. But man, you want to talk about a game that I guarantee you is like 27-24 or maybe even higher scoring than that, coming down to the wire. and one of these teams are definitely going to, both these teams, you know what, they may tie. Wouldn't that be the perfect game that ties? Where, like, the Chargers are down at the one, they're about to get a touchdown, then they fumble, and the Vikings get the ball, and they fumble a snap on, like, the game-winning field goal attempt, and this game ends at a tie. I could see a tie this weekend between the Chargers and the Vikings.
Let's do it. Let's just prolong the inevitable. I like it.
But you asked me neither the Bengals nor the Chargers to make the playoffs this season. The Bengals started off 0-2 last year. I think the Bengals bounce back this week and take care of the Rams. I'm assuming Joe Burrow is going to play. The Chargers, I'm not going to totally rule them out yet just because of their talent. One of those teams will make the playoffs.
Offside.
Yesterday, the Commanders, led by Sam Howell and Eric Bieniemy, are 2-0 after
left
a dramatic...
Left hand up, we Commanders.
That's right. Left hand up a lot this season. 35-33 comeback win in Denver, in which they started off the game down 21-3.
We got to do the song, by the way.
The left hand up?
No, the other song.
We Are Commanders?
Yeah. We Are Commanders. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum. One of the cringeworthy, but... best social media videos I've ever seen.
Firing up the fan base. They're fired up by the new offense this year. How about Washington so far through two games, averaging almost 10 points per game more than the Kansas City Chiefs. Yesterday, they dropped a 35 spot on the board. That was their highest point total since week 12 of 2020. So safe to say the combo of Howell and Bieniemy working magic so far two games in their tenure in Washington. Onside or offside, Zach? Eric Bieniemy will have a head coaching job next season.
You said will.
Will.
Well, I did start off the show today saying that Jim Harbaugh or Eric Bieniemy should be the coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. I think Bieniemy should be a coach in this league, but until he gets a head coaching job, I'm not going to believe it. Because we've talked about this now for years. But if he continues this with the Commanders, there is no justifiable reason why he doesn't have a head coaching job. But the question is will. And I've been operating until I see him get that job, and I've been advocating for him to get a job. I'm going to believe that he's not going to get a job, but just the way that things have happened the last few offseasons. So I will go offside there.
Offside.
I kind of hope he does, though, because we keep on wondering what he's going to be like as a head coach. And everyone's like, oh, how much does he really have a say in Kansas City? If this team gets to the playoffs this year, if this offense just continues to be functional with Sam Howell as the quarterback. I know at one time was thought to be a number one overall pick, but then he ended up going in the fifth round or whatever it was. I don't see what else you could say is why you wouldn't hire Bieniemy any longer if you're an NFL team.
I agree. There's nothing left right now. If he has a good year, nothing left to say as to why the answer would be no. The Cowboys dominated the Jets on Sunday, winning by a score of 30-10. And now through the first 2 weeks of the season, Dallas has outscored its opponents by a whopping 70-10 margin. Wowza. Dallas defense through two games has recorded 10 sacks and 4-7 turnovers, while Dak Prescott, after leading the league in interceptions last year, has yet to throw a pick so far this season. Onsides or offsides? The Dallas Cowboys right now are the best team in the NFL.
I would go offside. I would say that it's the San Francisco 49ers, one team that just jumps out to me. You know, the Giants only made the playoffs this past year. The Jets, they didn't have Aaron Rodgers when they played them. I know that the Rams aren't world beaters, but I think they're a better football team than the Jets right now, currently constructed. And especially when Zach Wilson's your quarterback. And then you look at the first weekend, the Giants, the Steelers got blown out by the San Francisco 49ers. So kind of equal there in the week one performance and then week two. I think the Rams right now have a better shot at being a better team than the Jets. So I will go with the 49ers. And here's the thing. The Cowboys taking care of business. Good for them. They deserve praise. You know when their first big test is, actually? It's not the Cardinals. It's not the Patriots. Their next two games. Coming up on October 8th, if you want me to really praise the Cowboys, go into Santa Clara and take care of the 49ers. When you're on the road, Sunday Night Football on NBC, bum, bum, bada, bum, bum, bada, 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 bum, and take care of business against a team that has beat you the last 2 years in the postseason when at times you've looked like the better team and could have won both of those games. So the Cowboys, I said it all year, they're going to be a really good team. I picked them to go to the NFC title game and lose to the Philadelphia Eagles. But until they get the job done consistently in the postseason, there's always going to be that, yeah, but with the Dallas Cowboys. So right now, I'm not going to call them the best team in the NFL. I go offside.
Offside.
The New York Giants yesterday tied their franchise record for largest comeback in team history after their 31-28 win over the Cardinals.
You had to go back to like the 1940s or something.
1949.
Yeah.
Last time that they had a comeback this big, 21 points.
Jody Mack and Chris Moore are probably hosting radio somewhere.
Probably. Probably. Big Blue trailed 20-0 at halftime, 28-7 in the third quarter before rattling off 31 second half points. Speaking of that second half, Daniel Jones unstoppable in the final half, totaling 317 yards and three touchdowns. Onsides or offsides? You were more impressed with the Giants in their comeback compared to disappointed that they were in the position that they needed to come back in the first place.
Oh, that is offside.
Offside.
I was more disappointed that they were down in that big of a hole. Like, don't get me wrong. It's impressive that they come back. I know people could say, yeah, but it was up against the Cardinals. You come back, what, down 28-7, 20-0 against any team in the NFL. It is impressive. But the fact that they were in that position, to me, is more disappointing and concerning about the state of the Giants.
And finally, on Saturday, Colorado moved to 3-0 on the season after beating Colorado State. Then the next day, Sunday, 60 Minutes aired an interview that they did with Deion Sanders, in which Prime was asked who the best college football coach is right now. Here's his answer.
Who's the best coach in college football today?
Let me see a mirror so I can look at it.
You feel that?
What, you think I'm going to sit up here and tell you somebody else? You think that's the way I operate? That somebody else got that on me?
So, onsides or offsides, Zach, Deion Sanders is a top three coach in college football right now.
Right now? Oh, yeah.
Right now.
But with the buzz that he's brought to that university, he has three wins to start the season. His next victory, he clears the over-under number for the season. Last year, they had one win. All we're doing is talking about Colorado right now. And even if they start to go on a losing streak, like, this team's going to be bowl eligible. You got two big opponents this week. It stinks that they lost Travis Hunter. But for the next 3 weeks, you got Oregon, USC. If you could just split one of those games, you're at four wins. And even if you don't, you're sitting there at 3-2. You still got Arizona State on the schedule. You still got Stanford on the schedule and Arizona. You know, those should be three wins easily. We're talking about a team that's going to be like bare minimum, Hickey, 6 or 7 wins. And who would have thought that heading into the season? Like, I said, if they got 5 wins, that's a really successful season. And I was someone that was optimistic. So right now, and what I'm looking for in a college football coach, just in the moment, yeah, not too many people doing it better than Deion Sanders. So I will say onsides. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We will take a timeout. When we do return, let's get into a little bit about these games tonight. And also, I want to circle back to the Pack and their bad finish up against the Falcons. And one team that, I hate to say it, Hickey and I both told you that this team was getting too hyped up before the start of the season and everyone's panicking about them. So a whole lot to do right here on CBS Sports Radio. But first, let me just tell you that you could think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
I'm here to tell you about Pom-Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom-Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom-Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
The venue's set. Families coming in from all over. It's her quinceañera. With all the excitement, it may be easy to overlook COVID-19. It's still a risk, and that's why it's muy importante to get this season's COVID-19 shot ahead of time. It helps protect against COVID-19, which can cause severe illness and hospitalization. So let's set the date, vaccinate, and celebrate. Check eligibility and schedule this season's COVID-19 shot on the CDC site, vaccines.gov. Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Well, a good start for the Packers last week, taking it to the Bears, beating them by 18. But then yesterday, it seemed like everyone universally was praising the Packers on Twitter going into that fourth quarter, where it's 24-12 up against a Falcons team that I predicted to win the NFC South, and I think is better than what people thought of the Falcons before the season. But what a disastrous fourth quarter, where the Falcons outscore you 13-0. Desmond Ridder gets a touchdown run, and you have a pair of Younghoe Koo field goals, and the Packers just basically snatch an L right out of the jaws of victory there. That was a bad, and I mean a brutal, fourth quarter performance. Now, I do think you could take some positives. Like Jordan Love through the first two games of the season, Hickey, you know, I'm not ready to say that he's a franchise quarterback and, you know, he's going to go on to continue the legacy of a Brett Favre and an Aaron Rodgers and a Bart Starr and all the great quarterbacks with the Packers. But Jordan Love has showed you that he could play the position through the first two games of the season. And that was a big question mark of what he was going to be able to do. Now, there's going to be some bumps in the road. There's going to be some good moments. There's going to be some bad moments. But Jordan Love so far, I'm not going to say very good, I'm not going to say great, but he showed you that he's capable of at least being a solid, a good quarterback in the league.
I know it's his fourth year, so he's not a rookie, but he's never played, so it's like you don't really know.
This is first year, basically.
Right. How much has he actually learned? How much is he ready for the speed of the game? And through the first two games, like I said, he seems very comfortable. He's taking what the defense gives him. He's keeping the ball, importantly, out of harm's way as well. No Aaron Jones yesterday. I know they didn't win the game, but again, that's a massive piece offensively.
No Watson, too, missing. Again.
Right. Two games now, Christian Watson not there.
Bakhtiari out. Elton Jenkins gets hurt in the game, too.
So he's looking competent, looking comfortable and confident, despite the fact, like I said, the injuries aren't there and the right now experience isn't there either. So far through two games, even though the record's 1-1, I think you take that right now if you're a Packers fan.
It was wild, and obviously I interact with a lot of people in the state of Wisconsin. We're on four stations across the great state of Wisconsin, and I have a lot of followers in Milwaukee. And just to see the range of emotions through the first three quarters, you would think the Packers were like going to the Super Bowl, and they have their guy, and no one was crushing Love after the game. But just to see how it unraveled so quickly through the eight-hour marathon of Ion Football, and when I'm highlighting that game and I'm looking at that game, I'm like, wow, the Packers are going to do this second week in a row up against a Bears team, right, that they were injured, and the Bears are showing that they were fraudulent where the hype was before the start of the season. Then this is a good early test for this team with the Falcons that has a lot of other talent and improved defense with Ryan Nielsen as the first-year defensive coordinator for the Falcons. And through the first three quarters, yeah, I know it wasn't the prettiest thing in the world, but what they did in quarters two and three, you're like, wow, look at the Packers here. And then just to see it unravel in the fourth quarter, it was miserable. To even though I think the Falcons are going to be a good team, they're my pick to win the NFC South, but just see the range of emotions from people was kind of tough to actually see.
And especially when it's three scoring drives, two for Atlanta, where it's, like I said, touchdown, two field goals. It's just like you feel like one stop anywhere you win the game, and could not get that one stop.
Also,
frustrating.
What did you make of Arthur Smith and the stones on him? I know you draft Bijan Robinson eighth overall, and they're driving towards the end of the game, and you're trying not to leave too much time left on the clock, but they're sitting there fourth and inches at Green Bay's 23, and this was right in front of the two-minute warning, if memory served me right, and they run a pitch to Bijan Robinson. Now, he gets seven. He gets the first down. But I was surprised that they ended up going for it there. I thought they were just going to kick the field goal. And then after getting the first down, they run it down to just under a minute, and they end up on 4th and 1 kicking the field goal where the ball was spotted at Green Bay 7. So, what, a 24, 25, 26-yard field goal, whatever it was. But in the moment, I understand that you would expect Bijan to be able to get that 1 yard or an inch there, but I was surprised that Arthur Smith did go for it and give him credit because it ended up working.
I love aggressive coaching. I'm with you in the sense that I thought that was too much because you have a chance to win the game if you kick the field goal. At least have your bare minimum, you elongate the game because now your defense has a chance to win it. You don't get it. It's basically over.
And remember, I know it was up against the Panthers, but that's a young quarterback with Bryce Young. But a week ago, this defense, they picked off, Bates had 2 interceptions himself and also had a forced fumble and recovered the fumble, I believe. With how good this defense has been early, that to me was, I thought the coach would have just kicked the field goal and trusted his defense, and ultimately Love gets the ball back with under a minute to go, and the Packers couldn't do anything, so it clearly didn't come back to backfire on Arthur Smith. But if he doesn't, the pitch too, which was the interesting part, I didn't like the play call. Now, Bijan's just ridiculous, and I like Tyler Allgeier. Tyler Allgeier had a really underrated, good, solid season a year ago. I know that they're splitting carries right now, but you just see the force that Bijan Robinson is. This dude, as long as he can stay healthy, is going to be unreal. You saw it last week off the catch where he made both those defenders just kind of tackle each other and broke someone's ankles. And then to see what he was able to do in the game yesterday, there's just some guys that are as good as advertised. As long as Bijan Robinson is able to stay healthy, he's as good as advertised.
And that's, I think, part of the thinking of, like I said, 4th and 8, you just think, okay, let's get the tush push here, maybe quarterback sneak run up the middle. I think it's part of the reason why Arthur Smith said pitch, because you put Bijan in space, 9 times out of 10, the first guy there is not tackling him.
So I was watching the Dolphins-Pats game last night, and they were talking about a potential tush push that they thought was going to occur, and it didn't, and it was a fake out on the tush push in that game. And Chris Collinsworth was talking about how they may get rid of that rule. And I never really thought about it, but my friend last night, like, he was adamant, who I was watching the game with, that they should get rid of the tush push rule in the NFL, and they should outlaw it and not make it a play that you could actually do. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't mind it. I mean, look, it's a rugby scrum.
I like it.
But I don't see, like, what's so bad about it. Like, it's a quarterback sneak. Now, I get you're getting an assist compared to what we thought before, really, last year, what a normal quarterback sneak would look like. But I have no problem with it.
No, I have no problem with it as well. But I just haven't heard someone be so adamant against it as one of my friends was. And it's not as if he can't stand the Eagles, right? Because they run that to perfection. This was just a friend that is a Jet fan that was advocating for this. The other thing, when we just go back to the Packers, I want to make one more point on the Bears. What's the takeaway from the Packers yesterday? Like, yes, Love looks good. They blow that game. It's infuriating. I don't think Love's the reason why they lost. I kind of look at the defense and the coaching, and that's what I look back at and go, man, defense has to be more consistent, something Kenny Clark talked about with us before the start of the season. But Matt LaFleur, we want to see what he is without Aaron Rodgers. You have that lead entering the fourth quarter as you did, up 24-12. If you're as good as a coach as what people make you out to be, like you're this boy wonder, you got to find a way to get your players to protect that lead.
It's easier for me to say this as a non-Packers fan, but I would have a tough time still being upset because I feel like this year still should be mostly about Jordan Love. I get you want to win the game, and I
so
get
wins
the
and
defense.
Losses are irrelevant to you, is what you're saying.
For me this year, yes, they would be. If you feel good about Jordan Love at the end of this year, I don't care what the win total is. I feel like that's a win for 2023 going into next season.
So let me just put this into your circumstance. You're telling me if, let's just say, we swap out the Packers for the Colts, and that was Anthony Richardson yesterday instead of Jordan Love, and you had that lead in the fourth quarter going up against the Falcons, that you would be okay with losing the game the way that they did because at least the quarterback showed you something.
And I'll say this. It wasn't, look, the Packers were up more points yesterday than the Colts were up against the Jaguars in week one. The Colts had a fourth quarter lead going into the fourth quarter.
Fluky play, though, how they got the lead.
But they had the lead going to the fourth quarter. They outscored 14-0. And Anthony Richardson threw a pick after the Jaguars scored a touchdown when you're hoping he's going to maybe lead them down the field and respond to the Jaguars taking the lead, and threw an interception and made the deficit even worse. But my overall, like, he played for the most part pretty well. So the post-game pod, it's still out there on YouTube. If you want to check it out, was still more joyous and more, was more happy, even though they lost, compared to being upset that they didn't win. So yeah. I've been saying all year, wins don't matter. And I'm keeping true to that.
Okay.
Now, I do believe that the Packers are in a different spot than the Colts.
They're better.
The Packers have a lot more talent. Now, the other thing, we both talked about this before the start of the season, that we thought Justin Fields was getting set up to fail this year. Now, some of this is on Justin Fields. I'm not just giving him a pass. But the way that people were talking about Justin Fields, dark horse MVP candidate, Bears could go make the playoffs, this team had the number one overall pick. I know they didn't use it in the draft because they traded back. They got DJ Moore. But even with bringing in DJ Moore, this is still a bad football team. And people said, oh, it's an improved offensive line. And I was like, well, how much are they improved? And the answer was like, oh, that's a good question. We'll have to wait and see it. They could be a good offensive line. This team just looks lost in the Chicago Bears. And you had two games to start the season where there was reason to question the Packers, a reason to question the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And so far, the Bears looked lifeless against the Packers. They looked lifeless against the Buccaneers yesterday. And Justin Fields, even when you're not in a great situation, you still have to show that you could be that dude. His awareness. As Samter was showing me a clip before the show started, and they slowed down how many receivers that were open that he just didn't get the ball to and then took a sack or ran into the defender. And at the end of the game, you know, it's a feel-good moment for Shaq Barrett with, unfortunately, all that he had to go through, that he got the interception and got the touchdown. But Justin Fields, that was a Wentzian type of throw that he made at the end of that game. Where, like, even Carson Wentz was impressed at how bad of a throw that was by Justin Fields towards the end of the ballgame.
I think both can be true, right? The what's around Justin Fields right now is not where it needs to be and is not doing him favors, especially the offensive line. With that said, he's got to be reading the field a lot better and a lot faster. I think part of the reason why he's getting sacked a ton and hit a ton, he's holding on to the ball too long. And like you said, he's missing open receivers. And when if you're waiting to see if they're open first before you throw it, you're screwed as a quarterback in the NFL.
And also, they have their own first-round pick, the Bears. And they also have the Panthers' first-round pick this year. The Panthers are going to be bad. The Bears are going to be bad. Last year, I thought it was unfair before the draft on should the Bears move on from Justin Fields. There's no doubt about it in my mind with how many good quarterbacks we hear about in this draft, whether it's a Drake May, Caleb Williams, obviously, Michael Penix Jr., Shador Sanders, and the list goes on and on and on with these quarterbacks that we watch each and every Saturday in college football. If the Bears are picking once again in the top five, which they will be, I don't see how Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus are going to be able to justify keeping Justin Fields for another year. Maybe go on to have success somewhere else. The Bears are a terrible environment for quarterbacks anyway, but 2 years in a row where that becomes a question, I think the answer is going to change from what it was last year, and it'll be drastically different when the draft is underway in, what, late April in Detroit this year.
And especially with the Panthers most likely not being good, you can draft a quarterback and also maybe around the top 10, as probably in the top 10, get whether it's another offensive line piece, another receiver. Like, you can check two boxes and not just use your first-round draft capital on a quarterback. You could still get both going for next year. I'm with you. It's going to be, especially if Caleb's sitting there, tough to pass.
Were you able to hear on the microphone the sound effects that were coming to my left from Rich Ackerman, just wondering?
No.
Oh, my God. I thought I was wondering if everything was okay with Ack with some of the noises that he was making. Bryce Young just fumbled the football, and I hear Ack just going, oh, 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 wow, as the Saints, I believe, recovered that. That was a real dog pile. So I saw Deshaun Watson had a pick six to open up the game, right? And Kenny Pickett just threw a pick. I believe there's just a missed field goal in the Browns-Steelers game by the Browns, who are wearing ugly uniforms. I thought that was the Auburn Tigers there for a second. And then this Saints-Panthers game is also a slop fest as well. If you love offense in the year of 2023, this is not the game to watch. Neither of these games are the game to watch, Hickey. This is really ugly.
You don't like the Browns uniforms? Sorry, that was my biggest takeaway.
You think those are nice uniforms?
Oh, I think they are fresh.
Ack?
They are clean.
They deserve to be down 7 points just based on that.
Yeah. I thought they were the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah. It's good. Looks like a nice little Halloween.
Ack knows fashion. Hickey does not know fashion. Look at the way Ack is dressed right now. He looks like $1 million. He looks like he could be on a game show. Hickey, you look like you just rolled out of bed.
Nah, Hickey's usually okay. Today's an off day for him. He's allowed. I cut him some slack.
Off day. Happy Monday to everyone else, too. Wow.
You know, you mess around with Ack, you mess around long enough, then you eventually find out. You get the wrath of Richard Ackerman.
What's up, everybody? I'm Danny Parkins, based out of Chicago. This is my buddy Andrew Filippone. He's based out of Pittsburgh. You really got to check out our podcast, First and Pod.
Twice a week, we're going to break down the NFL after Thursday Night Football and Sunday Night Football. It's every team. It's every game. It's all 32 teams. We give you a complete picture, and we get into it. We don't kiss each other's fannies on this show.
New episodes of First and Pod available when you wake up every Monday and Friday morning throughout the football season in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Most of us have clothes that we've loved for years, maybe even decades. But it's harder than ever to find clothes that will stand the test of time. So before you update your closet this summer, take a look at American Giant. From hoodies and t-shirts to denim and more, they've got everything you need to build a wardrobe that you'll be proud of for summers to come. American Giant is made in the USA. That ensures that they can deliver items of exceptional quality, but it also creates jobs across the country. You're not just buying clothes that last. You're helping create a lasting change in the communities where they're made and a connection to the seamsters, cutters, and factory workers who make them. Discover the American Giant difference today. Shop wardrobe essentials that last a lifetime at American-Giant.com and get 20% off your order when you use code LT23 at checkout. That's 20% off at American-Giant.com. Promo code LT23.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
You can stream the NFL on West of One for free, sponsored by AutoZone all season long. You can listen to every West of One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open West of One Sports or the Odyssey app. Get in the zone, AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Restrictions apply. Hickey, you said this earlier, that if you were a fan of the Broncos, you would have rather got blown out then have the game play out the way that it did yesterday, where you're up 21-3, then looking like you're going to lose the game going away. Then the next thing you know, Russell Wilson throws the Hail Mary, and you're waiting, waiting, waiting for the two-point conversion. If you get the two-point conversion, then the game is going into overtime. I agree with you, because if you lose the game like 40-0, you just have to tip your cap to the other team. They were just by far and away the better team. And I think it's easier to get over a blowout loss than it is a heartbreaking loss. Where, yeah, I get it. You could say you rather want to be in the game because then you could watch the entire game. But to be up the way that they were, and then the Commanders to take command the way that they did and still had a chance for the Broncos to put that game into overtime, it just continues to show you that this Broncos team is just not any good. They really aren't this year. And I know Sean Payton, you got the right coach in there. I'm a fan of Sean. Russell Wilson, I think his ceiling now is just being a good quarterback, not a very good quarterback, not a great quarterback, and you brought him in there to be great, and you don't have a lot of great pieces on offense. But also, like, let's not give this defense a pass, too. This is supposed to be a great secondary. This is supposed to be a phenomenal defense. And that defense yesterday was non-existent for the Denver Broncos. But then also, it's like you look at Russell Wilson, yeah, you could look at the stats and say, oh, well, he put up 3 touchdown passes and he put up 300 yards passing. They had no run game yesterday, or they didn't run the ball enough is the way that I should say. They actually got 5.3 yards per carry, but I think they ran the ball enough in that game. Yeah, you don't have enough playmakers. And this defense, I love this secondary. Man, this defense, Sam Howell was a 300-yard passer pretty much yesterday with 299 yards, and they couldn't stop Brian Robinson Jr., especially in that fourth quarter. So there's just a lot of ugly here for the Denver Broncos. And to start off this season, losing to the Raiders and then losing to the Commanders, and now you have the Dolphins this week and you're in Miami. So I'm sure it's going to be steamy and hot in Miami this weekend. This team's going to 0-3. Now, they do have the Bears and the Jets after that, so maybe they could find a way to get one of those wins. If you can't win one of those games, man, you really stink. But then after that, you go Chiefs, Packers, Chiefs, Bills, Vikings, Browns. This team just is not going to be good enough to the way that you thought they were heading into the season. That's not a diss at you, Hickey, because, hey, so far you look pretty damn good about the Bucs. You look pretty okay about the Rams, like some of these teams that you were on an island about. But this Broncos team, they stink. They stink right now, and they are a bad football team.
They are maddening. They are absolutely maddening in the sense that Russell Wilson literally can do no wrong in basically the first quarter and a half, throwing moonshot after moonshot, deep pass, touchdown, 21-3. I learned my lesson from last week. Did not tweet that MVP or Seattle Russ is back. Said, let me wait for the whole game first. Thank goodness I did, because he did not look very good after that. The play calling I thought was suspect. There's a lot going wrong with the Broncos, which is very concerning right now, where you laid out the defense. Last week was a pass rush, MIA. This week it's there, but the secondary stinks. Trouble stopping the run, trouble blocking, trouble catching, trouble getting open, trouble converting third downs. It is not ideal so far as a Bronco believer and a Bronco backer 2 weeks into the season.
And I think it's safe to say that you're out on the Broncos.
Win Miami.
No. You know why you're out?
Why am I out?
Because I caught you off guard last week, where before the year you predicted 11, 12 wins for the Broncos. And I said, okay, after one game, just entertain me. And we did win-loss, and you had them at 7 wins. And you were like, oh, no, I'm still a believer. I think that showed your true feelings. And I'm not saying that you contrived the Broncos take. I do believe you genuinely thought they were going to be a good football team. But when you go through a win-loss schedule, you may think a team's going to be good. Their schedule, outside of what the Jets and the Bears, which I'm not saying that the Broncos are definitely going to win both those games. Let me be clear, because they don't deserve the benefit of the doubt. The next 2 months, this is a brutal schedule for them.
I started the season before it started 12-5. After last week, 11-6.
No, you were at 7.
10-7.
You were at 7.
10-7, still making the playoffs. No reason to panic just yet, folks. No reason to panic. Now, if you lose in Miami,
you know you don't sound believable right
and
now.
And they're 0-3. Maybe reevaluate the Broncos going to the playoffs this year, but
you know what I'm going to get you?
No one panic.
I'm going to get you a towel. And you're going to, I want to know when you're throwing the towel on this football team. I thought that you threw in the towel on them last week, regardless of what you said when we went through win-loss. But this team just, I've been saying it all year, they don't have that much talent. The quarterback at best is a good quarterback. Jerry Jeudy is not a number one wide receiver in the league. Their offensive line is not good. Javonte Williams, solid player. But defensively, where was that defense yesterday? That's where they had talent on the defensive side of the ball. That defense allowed the Commanders to carve them up. And I'm not saying that the Commanders were this offense that we all thought going into the season. I know they have some pieces. But it's not as if this was an offense that we looked at and we're like, oh, this is going to be one of, you know, this phenomenal offense. They should have won one of these two games to start off the season, and they didn't. And it shows you that really there has not been much progress made so far from where they were last year.
True in both games, to be honest. You know, you're up 21-3 at home. You absolutely 10 times out of 10.
I can't say they should have won the first game. The first game, I never thought that they were in control of that game.
You should have beat the Raiders. I mean,
I know you can't stand the Raiders. I know the Raiders.
Dose of reality for Vegas.
Sure, but I know the Raiders aren't a good team, but they're going up against the Bills. You knew the Bills were going to slaughter them, and you knew the highlight for the Raiders that game was the Davante Adams touchdown. But I can't sit here and tell you that without a doubt, definitively, that the Raiders are that the Broncos are going to be better than the Raiders this year. You overestimated the Broncos. You've been batting pretty good so far at the start of the football season, but you definitely swung and missed on the Denver Broncos. And I think it just would help you right now if you realize that right now. But for whatever reason, you're going to tell me, folks, I'm not giving up hope. But then if they lose to the Dolphins next week, then you're going to be giving up
three.
Hope.
I mean, what do you want me to do there? Tell you a miracle's coming to Denver for week
they
four?
They stink. They're not a good team. You can tell me that right now. I guarantee you this team isn't going to the playoffs. There is no doubt about it. This team's not going to the playoffs. Like, even if they beat the Dolphins this week, you play the Bears and the Jets. Like, even if they get to 3-2, which is not going to happen. You're telling me they're going to have a good record after going up against the Chiefs, the Packers, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Vikings, and the Browns? That's brutal.
Hey.
We didn't even get to the Chargers, the Lions, another matchup with the Raiders.
Chiefs offense can't score right now. Chargers stink. Clutch moment, they can't come through.
You don't even believe this, Skip Bayless. Come on. And you know who's livid today?
Who is livid?
I don't know if you caught any of Rex Ryan. Remember, Rex Ryan was thought to be the defensive coordinator there or had a leg up of getting that defensive coordinator job. They end up going with Vance Joseph, who's having the time of his life, little Sergio Dip style. Rex Ryan today, everyone's killing the offense. Rex Ryan's like, oh, Hembo, the stat guy came up with how they're like number one in I think, points per possession or something. I forget what the stat was. And Rex Ryan shredded this defense. He basically said if he was coaching this defense isn't playing this way. He looked at that defense with the talent. And say what you want about Rex Ryan, who was a good head coach and Rex Ryan was a phenomenal defensive coordinator, I think that's a little personal. Like Greg, Coach Prime says it's personal. It is personal for Rex Ryan. And I can't really say Rex is wrong through the, after what we got to see yesterday.
Sean's got to make some changes. Sean Payton, that is, after year number one, it looks like, and probably both player-wise and looks like coaching-wise.
Yeah, you mushed the Broncos 2 years in a row. Last year, he's had them going Super Bowl. This year, the playoffs. Honestly, if you buy stock back into them again and I have to make those sound effects, people would think I'm going to be testing the emergency alert sound system if we have to do this 3 years in a row. If the Broncos don't make the playoffs this year, is it safe to say that you're out in all future years? Yes or no? Just real quickly.
Probably.
Oh, jeez. That's a probably. What do you think?
Well, well, well. Shopping for a car?
Yep. Carvana made financing a car as smooth as can be.
Oh, yeah?
I got pre-qualified instantly and had real terms personalized just for me.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
Well, I got to browse thousands of car options on Carvana, all within my budget.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
It does. I actually wanted a car that seemed out of my range, but I was able to add a cosigner and found my dream car.
It doesn't get much...
Oh, it gets smoother. It's getting delivered tomorrow.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get pre-qualified today.